Hey, J-O-N.
I know I asked Ryan, I was like, yo, how did y'all dig me up out of the damn?
Bro, you dope as hell,
yeah,
man. Speaking of which, welcome back to the 85 South Show Black Influence Spotlight. Bro, we always got some dope people stopping through the trap, you know, showing us love. And today is no exception. We got a dope ass creative. We can't even say an artist, because it goes way beyond that. A dope ass creative human being, bro. I'm sitting here going through the bio light. Bro, DL done did it all, bro. And you got a cold ass name, DL Warfield.
You like that?
Bro, only Warfield I'm familiar with is Marshall. Come on, man.
Marshall Warfield?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I haven't met a Warfield that I wasn't related to. So,
for real?
You know,
and it's
yeah.
It was a wide receiver that was
Paul
real good.
Warfield.
There you
yeah,
go.
So see, I know I'm related to him.
You
yeah.
know him?
And my son is a wide receiver, actually.
What's up,
yeah.
Other Warfield? DLL Warfield. <Yeah. laughs> Throw extra L in there, man.
Yeah.
So welcome to the trap, first and foremost, man.
Man, I'm excited to be down here, you know, and I was definitely familiar with your show, like I followed on social media, but I knew it was something that was super dope when I told my son and his eyes lit up. You
yeah.
know? So I was like, oh, okay, so this is really the shit, you know. But no, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be down here.
Brother, speak to what you said about your son. Bro, when his generation started embracing the show from us as a, like, not as like, you know, they doing it, but
right.
when it came some cool shit to them, I
right.
knew it was going, this is going to be something that lasts for a minute.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
they didn't even start coming to comedy shows yet.
Right.
Like his generation.
Right,
so
right, right.
These are some fans. So shout out to the money you're going to spend with us in the future.
Young Stick.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's my investment
yeah.
right there.
Yep. But you know, it's funny, I got to give you this, because as soon as I told him, he was like, you know they're going to roast you on the show.
No.
So I was like, oh, shit. So I brought down a little peace offering.
Okay.
So one of my dope tees, you know what I mean?
That's dope.
I was like, yeah. I was like, maybe he will lay off me a little bit.
I'll let you make it. You brought me some. When you bring gifts,
yeah.
you get to make it. Taylor, you mind adding this to the rack of things? You know I like to have ambiance. I'm going to hang it up
right,
as we do this,
work.
You know. Well, Taylor is. I be getting on her nerves. I can see it all in her face. She be like,
right.
bro, I do not work for you.
Yeah. She came in smiling, though, but I guess you might have changed the attitude a little bit for her.
I don't talk to her that much because she fucking me up. She real quiet. I'm like, why you don't ever say nothing? She said, why you don't ever say nothing to me?
Makes sense.
I just walked off because
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, you right.
Yeah.
You right.
Yeah. yeah.
But
Makes
man,
sense.
how did you get your start with, you know, bringing the creativity to life, the visuals, the art, the all of that, man?
Man,
Give me your first successful project. I don't give a damn if it was like second grade and you drew the dopest Ninja
okay.
Turtle or something.
My
some
first
shit,
successful
man.
Project, man, when I was in middle school, I won a logo design contest for American Can Company.
American
Can Company. I don't even think they're in existence anymore, but they were based in St. Louis. My godfather worked for them, and he was like, hey, we having a logo design contest. Can you draw something? And I was like, sure. And so the slogan was, let's put management and workers on an even scale or something like that. So I did what you would think. I drew a scale, you
like
know,
a
with
Libra
just,
scale.
Yeah, like a Libra scale with, you know, some management shit on one side and then some worker stuff on the other. And I won it. So it was like $500. You know, they probably should have paid me about $1,000
at least. But tell the truth though, for you to be in middle school, that was a lick.
It was a big thing. It was definitely a big thing, you know, and so, all of my successes, you know, I attribute to little marks like that. Like,
yeah.
it wasn't really anything big, but it was a couple things. It was one, people opening up doors and opportunities for me. You know, that definitely happened. And I'm so thankful for all of the people that did, you know, that did it from art, sports, mentoring, teachers, et cetera. Like, I had a lot of people that carved out lanes for me.
Right.
And my godfather is one of those people that recognized my talent at a young age and brought something to me that probably most people wouldn't have thought to do for a seventh or eighth grader.
Right. Now, and I saw you checking out some of the fan art. We always, you know, we rotated, but
right.
It ain't been rotated in a while.
Yeah,
man.
You got some nice pieces.
Bro, every show we go to, somebody bring us some artwork. Like, and it's always people you never would expect to be artists. It'd be
right.
Like a hood ass dope dude. Like a dope boy. Like, when you draw that? Man, I started back doing portraits in the pen. And,
right.
And I threw a little something together. Can we get a picture?
Absolutely.
I don't know why they always got that voice. Can we, me and my lady, we can get a picture?
Right.
No, y'all can have that. Can we get a picture?
You know what? Like artists, man, we come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. So I think it's dope that, farmer dope boys are now getting back into their portrait bag. You know, that's awesome.
This show been bringing the hood back together, bro.
That's good. You know what? I think that's a great title, too, bringing the hood back together. So maybe that's another segment or a spinoff.
Just bringing the hood back together?
Absolutely.
That's what we just had, like a baby daddy and a baby mama. On FaceTime, man. Mediate arguments or
right.
Something. So he can come get the kids on Wednesday.
Right.
But a lot of people hit me on the inbox. They done got back together with their baby mama and stuff.
Man, hey, man,
I'm not
that's
saying
awesome,
that it's all our fault.
Right.
We had something to do with it.
But you know what? You could fix a lot of things through laughter. You know, and
yeah.
like me and my wife, we've been together since 1985.
Bro, you never even tried to get no money.
Right. His mama.
85.
Right, hey, but listen.
Y'all grew up together.
Yes. Yeah, since I was a sophomore in high school, man. But when people ask what the secret is, I was like, yo, because we can still laugh together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so everything else can go up and down. But, you know, like if you really enjoy being around that person.
Yeah.
You know? Comedy can cure all kind of shit, man.
We were about to talk about some art. But, bro, you've been with your wife for like... 30-something years,
yeah.
Man.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay.
Now, you got to give us some game on that, bro, because as black men, we don't get a lot of black men that can give us some successful marriage tips or
you know what,
right
man?
Woman
I
tips.
Think,
like, this is a whole nother thing we got to discuss. You're
yeah,
not
so,
leaving us
okay.
Hanging like
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. So listen, so I think that, one, I mean, when it gets down to giving relationship advice, like, the only person that you have to worry about your relationship working with is you and that other person.
Right.
So, like, my advice for you might not work, but it works for me and my wife.
I ain't gonna take it anyway.
Yeah.
I ain't listening. Fuck it. Leave me. I'm
yeah.
Fucking up.
But you know, but yeah.
Fuck it. She going through it with me first. We're not just about to be all in love. Hell
hey,
no.
You know what? Hey.
I need to know if you here for real. I'm gonna drag your ass.
Yeah, so you want somebody that's battle tested, so that's dope. And so I think, you know. My wife is definitely battle tested. I mean, being with an artist, you know, is no easy task.
Yeah, because people are weird.
Absolutely.
Creative people are very weird.
Absolutely. And I would say that, you know, I'm definitely weird. I just like different shit and I think differently.
Yeah.
You know, but I think one thing that probably makes me a little different than a lot of artists is I was also an athlete.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was like football and track
stun
and art. Yeah,
that
so.
Was your way of letting them know you wasn't on no nerd shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what? It just made it. I think it brought me down a little bit because when you play sports,
you
and when you have to do things like that, yeah, it gives you balance. And to me, everything was about working my ass off.
Right.
And so sometimes I work my ass off and I win. Sometimes I work my ass off and I lose, but I just try to stay neutral about the whole situation.
There you go.
I kind of approach art the same way.
Yeah.
Just it's about working my ass off. So.
So creatively, what are some of your favorite pieces or things to create?
You know what?
Because I see.
I like doing everything, man.
You've been into fashion.
Yeah. I like doing
nudity.
Everything.
He
said. You said nudity?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
Anheuser-Busch. You got a diverse.
Yeah.
This ain't all of them. I'm just
right.
Running off a few of them. I'm
I think
say
like
some.
some of the most exciting projects, you know, that your audience probably knows is like the stuff that I did when I was a creator director at LaFace.
Right.
And so there I was in charge of like Outkast, TLC, Pink, Goody Mob, T.I., Tony Braxton, and what was incredible was seeing like those artists at the Genesis, like when they bring you what they think is, what they know is the best shit that they got, and then they trust you to add a visual to it, like that's a credible hand.
Or you just named a whole list of musical titans.
Right.
like working with them early before the world, like you said, before the world gets to consume all of this great shit they about to drop, mm-hmm. it's like, could you see the superstardom in some of these people like off the gate?
Absolutely. Right? You know, like it was just, it was different moments working there where like they would bring in the music and as soon as you hear it, you would be like, holy shit, you know? And at the time, you know, we were just thinking about what was great at that moment, not like what was gonna be great 10, 20 years right. down the road. And so, like, when I look at some of those artists, just, you know, and what they have went on to be become, like, I'm not surprised because they were great then, you know? Right. But you don't think about the long term when you're working on that shit.
Yeah.
You're thinking about being the greatest right
and
now.
And then you can't even really talk about it. You gotta wait before, you know, it's
absolutely.
Dropped.
Absolutely.
Man, I mean, people never really get the grand scope of how great and huge TLC right. is and was. Like, right. what was it like working with TLC?
Man, working with TLC was great because they just love creative shit and you couldn't go too far for them. Mm-hmm. You know, you could bring them any idea and they were open to it. And so I think that to me, that was one of the qualities that really, really made them stand out. Like they were 100% about going against the grain, visually, musically, and everything. And that's the type of person that I am too. So it was perfect. And so they were easy. I mean, they were one of the easiest groups that I actually got to work with.
Who was the artist that pushed your creativity? Like that really pushed you, like, I don't know if I can be able to fuck with him.
I would probably say Usher.
Really?
You know, abso-fucking-lutely, Usher, man. I mean, and it's funny, it's like, he's definitely a rethinker, you know what I mean? Like, he's not super impulsive. And we've had multiple situations where, it wouldn't be the last minute changes as much as it was to get to the finish. So an example, like when I did the artwork for Here I Stand, I probably did 60 covers.
Damn.
He went with the first one that I sent him after I did all of those. And so the way that we worked, as soon as I designed it, I sent it to him. I was like, dude, this is it. And he's like, man, I don't know. And so design after design after the design, and we ended up going back to the very first one.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't know if he was just fucking with me at times, but he was the one that is challenging to get him to commit to something.
So you create these one-off pieces. What happens to the other 59?
Man, they get ready to become NFTs.
Mm. Yeah.
Or that would be a goal, you know what I mean? But they just sit in the vault. And, you know, like with most of the music projects that I have just files of shit, you know, from photo shoots to like whatever. So I have all of that, you know.
Right.
And so now I'm just trying to navigate through ownership and who owns what and can I release some of this material, you know, because I have my fine art, which is like mostly my main focus right now that I could definitely do. But if I can dig back in the bag and grab some of that stuff that's, you know, people never even seen that right. I thought was amazing, you know. Okay. That would be an incredible opportunity.
Do me a favor, because you know so much about it. Like you said, we got a very big, broad audience from your son age to grandma and them age.
Right.
Who are some of the black artists that they should look up, get online and check out? Like,
black fine artists?
Yeah, give us some dope black artists to go catch up on.
Oh, man. Kevin Wack, Fabian Williams, which is Occasional Superstar, Paper Frank, Gary Kelly, Thomas Blackshear.
Throw some women in there. Give us some black women artists, creatives, sculptures, whoever do sculptures, whatever. We want everything.
Man, female artists. I mean, I'm just drawing a blank now, but
we'll get back to it.
Yeah,
you could just yell them out as they come to you.
Yeah, just random, like I got Tourette's.
This is the trap. We have no format.
Yeah,
Tasha Black.
She
Cole.
Yeah.
This is a black man show, bro.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Like the a lot of the artists that I followed and was inspired by growing up, they were not like your most well-known fine artist. You know, they were like people that I interned for, you know, and things like that.
We'll check them out too.
No, absolutely. So I gave you a couple like Tony Wade, Mark Scott Carroll, Gary Kelly, like those are guys that really revolutionized things for me as an artist.
That's dope, man. So any of your kids get into the art?
You know what, my daughter is a writer-director. you know, she just finished working on Spider-Man. She's super funny as shit, you know, but she's working in production, but writing, directing. And my son is, he has my athletic side. He has some creative ability, but, you know, I have to try to pull it out of him. You know what I mean?
So, I understand.
Yeah. What about you, got kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Are any of them funny?
Well, my son is so sarcastically funny.
Yeah.
It is so crazy.
Yeah, that's dope. How old is he?
12.
Okay.
And it's to the point where I don't even want to talk to him. Because he's fully aware that I'm a comedian. So, like you said, it's like, I think he thinks he has the right to be a comedian.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, I'm your daddy.
Right. So y'all go back and forth?
A lot.
Yeah.
But he be that's right good. A lot of times.
Yeah, that's good. I think having those type of dialogues, I mean, I think to me, creativity is right next to sarcasm.
Right.
And it's right, you know, it's right next to being a smart ass. And so, like in school, I was always drawn to smart ass, wise ass type
my
people.
Son definitely is smart ass. Like he always go to my dad's house, right? Mm. You know, my dad, old school Mississippi.
Okay.
So every time my son, like, get ready to get up, get a snack or something, my dad hit him with some old shit that this generation of kids ain't never used to hearing. So you be like, grandson, there's some good cold water in there. So now, like, every time my son come home, anytime somebody walk past the refrigerator, he'd be like, there's some good cold water in there. It's just, that's some of the funniest shit,
dude. That's dope, though, man. I think, you know, it's awesome to have those type of bonds with your kids, you know what I mean? And I think that—
And just to watch them grow up, it's like they go to bed and wake up and be holding other individuals when they come downstairs.
Yep, and then, I mean, he'll probably say shit to pull great bits and things out for you, you know?
Yeah. The questions like, that they ask.
Right. And some of my, like as a fine artist, like some of my best, most memorable pieces have came through joking and talking shit. And so,
are some of your favorite pieces that you've personally done? I don't think we get to brag enough.
Recently, I did a piece. It was, I do a body of work called the American Flag Remix. So if you look it up online, it's just one word, American Flag Remix. But I did a piece in that series called The United States and We Built This Shit for Free.
Oh, my God. That's the shirt.
Yes.
That's the movie. Yeah. We can get Ava DuVernay on that.
Yeah.
See it all.
Hook it up.
Brother Umar going to have to do some narrations in there. I like that.
Yeah.
Bro, can we write that?
Let's do it.
The United States and we built this shit for free.
Yeah.
We can get Dan Kaluuya in there.
Yeah.
He's very convincing.
Yeah.
I want Jada Pinkett to come back on this one.
Yeah.
I want Lawrence Fishburne to land motherfucking Nebuchadnezzar. And just like all these generations of black people come from outer space and underground. That's, man, that shit gonna be harder than Planet of the
Apes.
I'm
fucking with that heavy already. I think that's a great idea.
Guess who else gonna be in it? Shaka Khan.
Okay. You know what? Maybe she just sings the opening. You want her in it?
I want her in it. I want her to walk out and give a speech.
Okay.
Like she's standing on a cliff or a ledge and she's like, black people, we are here. But she'll do it better. Maybe Grace Jones, too.
Grace Jones.
Ooh.
Grace Jones.
Ooh.
Grace Jones.
Yeah. Grace in the Jones movie, Grace too. Jones and Naomi Campbell are sisters.
Okay.
You see how I put that together?
Is it a comedy or is it a drama? Drama?
Nah, it's more like a Star Wars. It's like our Star Wars.
Okay. I think that's dope.
Like, it's got to be like 10 of them, because we 10 behind already.
At least. Now, yeah, we got a little bit of catching up to do.
Right.
But I think, yeah, like that piece, you know, it was inspired by enslaved African Americans, transatlantic slave trade. And the original piece is hanging up in the gathering spot right now. But like I wrapped this whole flag that I built, you know, which the front of it is a cross section of a slave ship. And I wrapped the entire flag in like this chain that looked like the shit was from like the 1700s, you know. And it was like the most emotional, heaviest piece that I've done. But I think that one is probably the run that I really put my all into it the most.
Yeah.
You know, I always, you know, I'm always into like whatever it is I'm working on at that moment. But that piece, like when people see it, it's beautiful, but it's haunting at the same time.
Mm. You know what I'm gonna ask, man, what was it like working with the dope-ass Outkast, man?
Man, you know what? Working with those guys, it was great,
Because
them
literally came from the future.
Right.
And came back to
right.
do this shit. Man.
Right. You know what, man? Like, I remember, just having conversations with them just about, like, their concept of space, you know? And I remember talking to Dre about when he really made the flip and started singing about like things that came to him in his dreams and things like that. And when you in the moment and you're having those type of conversations, you don't really trip off of that shit. You'd be like, yeah, yeah, did you approve this logo? You know what I mean? But when you sit back and you think and then you see like how, you know, they told you something a year before they drop and how everything maps out, it's incredible. But like those guys are definitely geniuses, man. I mean, I look at them like they're this era's version of like the Rolling Stones or some shit. Like they're bigger than hip hop. Like they've transcended.
Let me ask you this for the artists, like in the music game or, you know, whatever. How important is it to have that signature logo?
You know, I think it's very important for two reasons. One, I mean, you want to have something that somebody can recognize you instantly from, whether it's from a distance or whether it's from up close, you know, and then also just the longevity and legacy of merchandising. So, you know, like it's a shitload of bands, especially like on the rock side, that sells so much merch.
Rolling Stones.
That, yes, man, like that mouth and that tongue, I mean,
Grateful
then they
Dead.
License it. Absolutely. So it's and Kiss. I mean, it's an important thing to think about.
Most definitely.
But when you think about
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. Yeah. I mean, shit, the Commodores had it.
Yeah.
But when you think about like a lot of the big black bands and hip hop artists, like you can't name too many symbols. Outkast has theirs. You know, Run DMC has theirs. But other than that, like I don't know who you could Public Enemy.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's them three, but I can't think of anybody that has that symbol that when you see it, it's like the Batman shit in the sky, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's very important.
That's dope.
Like,
man.
Your backwoods, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know what? I'm a sucker for some advertising, bro. This shit was so dope. I was like, I gotta have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did
a good
job.
I got some good friends over there at Backwoods that's been making sure I stay with some fresh ass backwoods shit to throw with the J's and
that's great. Yeah, that's
that
great.
So, and then it's shit out early. Ain't nobody got this yet.
So how long did it take you to coordinate all of that? You just like
you see it? It's
yeah.
The red shoe,
yeah,
then yeah. It's red with the yellow shoe, and then it's yellow and red. Oh my God.
So did you lay out two different J's or did you like
this
have
how
on
they
the red?
Come.
Okay.
This
oh,
how
okay.
they come.
Got
yeah.
it, got
and I'm
got
just
it.
Putting them up so they'll know that they knew.
Got
so
it.
So they can see that the bottom is icy and shit like that.
They are clean.
My ass off on this show, man.
They are clean. As you should.
Yeah, it's mine.
Because if you look good, you get paid good.
Again. I ain't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to bump them back up and let them know we still in here with it. J.O.N., play me some pimping while we doing this, man. We got company in the house, man. Yeah. He gonna think we ain't creative enough.
Now he was killing it earlier when he said his name.
Don't
was...
boost his head up, man.
Okay.
This nigga
already,
the nigga named John, but he got us calling him
J-O-N. Yeah. I was like, is it? Yeah.
I hate this dude, bro.
And I was like, is this stamp or something? He was like, nah, he got that in middle school too. You got your nickname from middle school, right? Yeah. I think you rock with it. Like when God has somebody give you a middle name, nickname, you keep that shit.
Bro, this dude is authentically one of the coolest motherfuckers you ever met. This nigga don't never get out of character.
That's good.
For real. I ain't That's never good. Seen him yell, run. I ain't never seen him in a hurry. This motherfucker is on one speed.
That's funny, man.
Hell yeah.
Hey, so what are you working on? What's next? Like, what's exciting coming up for you?
What's exciting? Shit, it's all exciting because none of this shit was ever supposed to happen. So
Right. Every
show is exciting. Right now, the main thing that I'm doing, since the world is so crazy, and just to be extra safe, is just I'm doing these tour dates with Mike Epps.
Okay.
So, you know, we're dropping 5 or 6 dates at a time.
That's great.
Just, you know, just taking it slow, you know.
Yeah.
Day by day, going back into this shit.
Yeah.
Creating this, we working on some animated shit, trying to get the Roach Motel. We got this cartoon.
Yeah, I was checking that t-shirt out.
Yeah, man, this from the, we had did some dope shit on the show and the fans wanted us to bring that.
Okay.
We had did a song called Everybody Had Roaches. And
got it.
So we did
got
one
it.
That's some exterminators. Yeah. Man,
hey, so here's a funny one, man, for you. I mean, seeing just like connections. So a long time ago, man, like I designed Nick Cannon's hip hop album cover.
Right.
Shit never came
you
out.
You the dude we've been looking for, because you should have told him. Nah, just bullshit.
Nah, that shit never came out, though. I remember, you know, like I ran into him at an event. It was like Grammy week. And I was like, hey, man, I designed your cover. He's like, man, don't tell nobody about that shit. You know, you don't want nobody to know.
He gonna see this.
Yeah.
Nah, that dude's so damn cool, man. Yeah. He's a cool one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, though. It's a small-ass world.
Yeah, man. Everything is connected. And so I think, especially in Atlanta, I mean, you know, it's easy to run in and bump into, you know, a great opportunity. So that's why you got to keep your reputation tight.
Let me ask you this. After working with all these people who are, you know, considered legends and, you know, titans in the music industry, how do you pick now who you work with after having a resume like
that? Man, it's got to be, like, if I'm working on, like, a creative direction design type project, it has to be two things that are determining factor. Do I love the music and do they got a budget?
Yeah.
You know, because other than that, it's just like, I'm not really into it. But if I dig the music, then maybe your budget don't even have to be as like a normal budget, you know?
Going back to the music, tell me about your Tommy Boy days.
Oh, man.
I used to love that Tommy Boy logo with the three niggas partying.
That was a good logo. Man, so Tommy Boy, I mean, that it got me and my wife to New York City. The job wasn't all that fucking hot. I mean, I started that clothing line.
It never is. It's just the shit you do.
Yeah, yeah. I started that clothing line. But what was dope was being in New York City, and especially like at that age, and being able to freelance for everybody. So while I was up there, I mean, even though work was like kind of hectic, I was freelancing for like Andre Harrell, Uptown Records, Puffy and Bad Boy. Shit, everybody that I can kind of get a meeting with, you know, and just the city, the energy of the city at that time, you know, it's one of those things that leaves a stamp on you. And so I came from St. Louis, which was slow moving like your boy, you know, and then I moved to New York City. So it was culture shock for me when I went up there.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest things that I heard was like, in the office, people said, you're not from here, Ron. You know, I was like, nah, how do you know? It's like, cause you always smile. And I'm like, damn, you know?
Yeah, they don't like
that. And so it's like, nah, they didn't like you to smile. At least, you know, in the early 90s, they didn't like you smiling in New York City, but.
They really have a lot to smile about.
Sure. This is true, but at the same time they do. Like I seen some of the craziest shit that I ever seen in my life in New York City. That
you
was
will.
Just random.
You will. Know? And it'll be so normal to
everybody. Right, and it'll be right next. Like, you can see the craziest shit right next to the most expensive, richest shit. I mean, literally, like, right next to it don't matter.
A homeless dude taking a shit, eating a Dunkin' Donut.
Yes, yes.
And shit right there, but he'll go and wash his hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This dude's shitting! Yeah, what about it?
Yeah, I seen that like one time at lunch. I just seen the dude pull his pants down. He was shitting on the side of a building. And
exactly.
I was like,
and he was still talking to me. How y'all doing? It's another day at the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's double back on something that you briefly spoke on, these NFTs.
Yeah.
This shit is blowing up, man. Can you give us a better description of what that is?
Man, I think the NFT, I think what it does is it gives artists and creators the opportunity to authenticate whatever it is that they own and they create, and then maybe get paid on it for longevity, right?
Right.
And so an NFT can be anything that people consider worth having ownership in and keeping. So like this conversation right here that we tape could be an NFT. Right. You know, you put it up and you have it minted and you get your blockchain information and post it on a site and then you kind of up and rolling. But the shit is really, really crazy. And I think that it's gonna disrupt a lot of business markets, you know?
Let me ask you this for the struggling artists who may be watching. What advice would you give to somebody who's super talented?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, having one of those moments that you have as an artist where things might not be moving.
Right.
Not to say that it's not good. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that you go through creatively, trying to get your feet.
I think that like most artists, you know, like we really don't think like business, you know? And so you could be an artist and you always painting and you like, well, shit, like my shit ain't selling, you know? And so I think, you know, if you have in that type of run and you confident in your work, you might have to position that shit in another lane. Like maybe.
Okay, let me ask you this. What, cause I got this friend that's a dope ass artist, but every time she finished a piece, she refused to sell it. What advice would you give artists who are like that? They create all of this shit that they want nobody to have.
Well, it's a couple things. I mean, if she wants to create it and then maybe photograph and sell prints or sell t-shirts or coffee mugs, I mean,
you could... she won't let nobody get it. It's just a big-ass personal collection.
Shit, I mean, I was told, like, when I was in the eighth grade that if you're an artist, you gotta let the world know, you know?
Now, see, that's some shit that can apply man. All...
That, that applies
shirt,
to everything.
Man.
Yeah, and so because of that,
break
like...
Break down, Junior.
Yeah.
Over there on Facebook, you need to be keeping up with what your dad is talking about.
Hey, I try to tell him.
If you're an artist, you have to let the world know it.
Yeah, and so, and then I also believe, like, a lot of times, just like in everything, a lot of things in life, you gotta let shit go so that you can get to the greater things, right? And so, like, with me, like, with all of the art pieces that I've done over the years, like, I don't feel emotionally connected to anything, you know, like, but I feel emotionally connected to my ideas and how I came up with that. But after I finish the piece, matter of fact, after I think of the piece, a lot of times I feel like I won already. But then I gotta go through the steps, which is the working part of the artist. Gotta go make that shit, gotta go paint that shit. Like, that's the work. But the idea is what I truly love. And so I think, you know, to me, like, I go through the process of, like, I gotta get shit out of my sight so that I can have new ideas.
You ever you seen some of your shit and wanted it back?
No.
Like,
no.
No.
But you know what?
Yeah.
No, never that. But it's things that, like, that I've done that I didn't care if it ever sold or not, because I really was, you know, I was digging it like that. But other than that, like, I'm usually more excited to create the next new thing, you know? And so, like, when I'm working on things, I'm thinking of other shit that I could be working, like, I'm learning from this experience to take to the next experience. And so if all you're doing is looking at them same experiences all the time, it's hard to get new ideas in.
So when you get in your zone, what are you listening to, bro?
I listen to everything, man. I listen to...
Well, tell me some of your new favorite niggas, the new rap niggas.
Some
of the young niggas. What's the
probably
young niggas shit you be listening to?
Earth Gang.
Okay.
Shit, like, from a rap standpoint, I mean, I like Travis Scott. You know, is he considered a young... Okay. I like him.
I got the craziest Travis Scott story.
Yeah, I got it. We got to hear it. Yeah.
At the BET.
I like Damani Harris a lot.
He cold as fuck.
Yeah,
we got to get him on here. Let me tell you this Travis Scott story. So we at the BET Awards. Everybody outside, like all the people who performing outside, all the rappers and shit. So it's like, this right when his shit was super on fire.
Right.
He get ready to go on stage, right? So he coming like, I think he was on like a truck or some shit. He was walking to the loading dock. Bro, this mug, he walked and like slipped and popped his fucking kneecap.
Oh shit.
On the way to the stage, and I'm like, oh shit, he supposed to be first. He like tore his ACL or some shit right there in front of me. I'm like.
So what did they do?
Nigga, they fixed it. I mean, not his leg, but they fixed the performance
he
just like laid on some shit or something.
Okay.
But I know he left right after that.
That's crazy.
He fucked this shit up.
Yeah. That's not good.
It was like right in front of me too. So he walking and he missed a step or some shit, or his leg gave out. And I was like, oh, somebody get this man.
Damn.
I'm not qualified to handle
that's funny.
Superstars.
But
shit.
I think like young, like is J. Cole considered young?
Yeah.
I love like him. Obviously Kendrick Lamar. And,
right.
I mean, I like motherfuckers who can like rap.
For real.
And so that's who I mean. I'm
so
you
gotta give some of them other guys a chance too. Some of them ones who are not necessarily great rappers.
He puts me on some great energy. Yeah. No, yeah, so my son, I mean, he's in charge of curating those playlists for me. But he put me on like what's the young guy out in California? Roddy Ricch. Like he put me up on Roddy Ricch.
You like that singing shit.
Yeah, I mean that's what I mean, he's singing that shit.
Roddy Ricch cold.
Yeah. But I mean
listen to Rod Wave.
Okay.
He's a big dude, bro.
Okay.
Big singing nigga.
Rod Wave. Off. Put that down, stick.
He know Rod Wave.
Yeah, he got it. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And if you want to hear some real aggressive shit, like NBA Youngboy.
Okay. That's his guy, too.
Bruh, I don't know what he did to the to the next generation.
Okay.
But he's the Elvis of his time.
And I like Lil Baby. I think Lil Baby's legit, you know. But some of it, I just can't. I'm like, damn, am I getting old? I mean, I am old. Shit, I'll be 53, but But yeah, some shit, I just like, I can't even.
Yeah, we be too hard on the young dudes.
It don't fucking move me. Huh?
We be too hard
on the young. Nah, I'm not hard on them. You know, just like.
I'm saying our generation, like.
It's hard on them.
The generation right in front of the guys who are hot right now.
Right.
Everybody's like, man, they ain't got no lyrics. And then you listen back to some of this shit we be listening to. Like, that
it's crazy. I mean, yeah, I was, you know, the other day, I was just listening to shit like. The Fat Boys and like the Skinny Boys, like they came out when I was like a junior in high school, like in 86, but they weren't really talking about shit either. It was just like kind of like the party raps,
boys,
but we loved
it. The Fat Boys definitely wasn't talking about
shit. So, I mean,
but
they're cold. And so, you know, everything goes in cycles. I just know like the musically what always moves me is the storyteller, you know? And so like when I think about, you know, like Andre 3000's on 16 Ain't Enough with Rick Ross. You know, I'm like, shit, is that, like if those bars are the standard, you know, and like, you know, shit, T.I., like the Libra album. Like, right. I love that fucking album, you know, by Tip. I designed it, by the way, but.
You know. I know.
Yeah, but, so I'm into that. I'm into the stories. I want shit to take me places.
The coldest young new storyteller nigga is, well, he's no longer with us, but King Von.
Okay.
That nigga give you every detail.
Okay.
In the car, with the radio on, listening to some music, heard a song, I didn't like this shit, you know just how I do it. I be like, nigga, he give you every detail.
That's funny, man. Yeah. I mean, love Nip. I love Nip. You know, I guess he's a young guy too. I love
the way Nipsey rap.
Yeah,
Nipsey
man.
Rap. Like you was with him earlier. And he's just reminding you of all the shit y'all did.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man, like the way that he raps, but I agree. The way that he raps, it reminds me, and this is way off to the left, but it's a book. I don't know if you read it. It's called Relentless by Tim Grover.
I will.
But you got it. Yo, you
called Relentless?
Relentless by Tim Grover. You will finish that shit in 2 days. And Tim Grover, shit, he should be paying me for this advertising, but.
You
Tim Grover was Michael, he was Michael Jordan's trainer when Mike was in the NBA. And then he started working with Kobe and Dwayne Wade. But the book is written as if you sitting right next to them on the bench and they just talking through shit. It's dope. But it'll get you, if that shit don't get you going, nothing can. You know, it's a great book.
You know? That's what's up, man.
But it reminds me of Nip when you read it. I mean, it's, you know, because of the quality that you said, it's like you write with him. You know, it's the same thing.
Because sometimes Nip, he'll just throw a bar in there and it kind of sound like he is talking to you. Then your pills, this is my weed. I was like, okay.
Talks with that, man.
Bro, we got to collab on a project, man.
Man, I would love to, man. I mean, I've been doing a few collaborations with different musicians and artists.
You did no comedians, though, bro.
No, but let's fucking go.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know, and then I'm the type, like, if we say we gonna do it, we gonna do it. We ain't gonna meet 15 times. I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna be like, yo, you got that shit? All right, send it to me.
That's what I'm saying. Right. It's like,
y'all hearing this right now. I'm 100% in. So whatever it is you wanna try.
You know why it's gotta happen?
Why?
Cause your son is a fan of this show. You think he not gonna let that shit happen?
Right. Shit, you know.
That's crazy.
I gotta have him as my project manager. Then let him manage this process.
Yeah.
You know.
But we could.
I mean, whatever it is, like.
Not. Don't think here. We got a whole nother setup that we're going with.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We would definitely want to get some real dope shit in there.
Mm-hmm. Y'all need a big dope box, actually.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Like I make these dope boxes that are like a table. Although this
like
shit
this
is fly
table,
too. This shit is fly.
And all that. My partner made this.
That shit is dope. He did a great job.
Tell me more about this dope box. Where can I see it? Is there a site where people can hit you?
Yeah, so if you go to dlwarfield.com, everything is on there. You know, my Instagram, my Twitter, everything is just dlwarfield.com.
I'm on it. I'm about to get on it right now because. Yeah. You know, I'm building me a man cave right now.
Where at?
At my house.
Okay.
And that shit you said, I like that. That box shit. Give me some more detail on it.
Man, so I started doing the dope series like in 2014. And obviously, I mean, everybody knows what the word dope means in hip hop vernacular. So it was something that I've been saying since like 1981, well, really 1982. And, so I started making these pieces, and The very first piece that I made was for a fundraiser for Chris Kelly's foundation.
Okay.
And so from Chris Cross.
Yeah, you gotta tell these folks. Bro, I'm telling
Chris
you.
Cross. All right,
Who's Chris Kelly? The quarterback?
Right.
No, Chris Cross.
Yep, so I got hit up from a young woman named Angela Watts that was curating his a fundraising event for his foundation. They asked me if I would put work in the show to help raise money. I think it was for either cancer or leukemia.
Right.
I was like, yeah, but then I didn't have shit that was hip-hop related. So, you know, I started doing these pieces that just said dope, you know, and they all saw it. And I was like, well, shit, like maybe I should keep exploring it. So since then, I mean, it went from making two-dimensional pieces to actually building boxes that say dope all over that you can sit on. We have some that sit on the table. And then from that, in 2019, I did an event. It was at the Whiskey Blue, where I invited six of Atlanta's top photographers to come out and shoot people sitting on my dope box.
Yeah.
And so we created this whole series called Sitting on Dope. And so after they did the photos, the plan was to do a follow-up art show of me making artwork from the photos. But, you know, COVID hit. So I have all of these assets, you know, that eventually I will do a show called The Dope Show. You know, so I did collaborations with photographers, and then I did collaborations with artists like my guy Fabian Williams, Hobo Inc., Paper Frank, Melissa Mitchell, Jeremy Brown, you know, and a bunch of others. So at some point we're gonna do the show, because everybody has to see all of this work and all of these collaborations together. And the thing that I like about that dope series the best, and even when I first came up with the idea, I thought it could be a great mechanism to get artists to collaborate, you know? Because, I mean, I don't know if it's like that, like this in comedy, but a lot of times I think artists really don't work together that much.
Well, you know, comedy is such a solo sport.
I mean,
unless it's a movie or like a sketch or something, I don't really see too much collaboration happening.
Okay, so, but as far as you writing your stand-up, is it just you or do you work with other people also?
Well, it works like this. It's just like, say everybody has a circle of friends to trust. When you might show up to the club and do all this new shit that you wrote, and your partner might give you the best tag.
Right.
So don't say that, just throw this in there.
Right.
Oh, you know what you should say? Or that's the way that comedians
collab,
you see us outside riffing or joning on somebody, and it's like, that's how we keep the flex, the muscles flex, you know what I mean?
And so, like all of my best creative ideas that came from Jonah, comedy, man, it has fueled so many ideas, the spontaneity of it, being able to think on your feet. And so even like with a lot of my artwork, just the wittiness of it, like when I explain that shit, people are like, oh shit, you know?
Right. See, like when you really said that, it's like the wittiness of the comedy. To me as a performer, as a comedian, it's like, fuck the jokes that I wrote, right?
Right.
Like, all the laughs that I get in between jokes that I wrote, that's the real comedy.
Yeah, because that's when motherfuckers like, oh shit, you know?
The joke I wrote is supposed to work.
Right. No, I feel you on that. I mean, it's like watching a movie and you laughing at some shit that's off to the left.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the scene is here, but it's a motherfucker back here doing some crazy ass shit and you just see that and laugh.
Just like the black dude on RoboCop. I don't know if people remember that one scene on RoboCop where all the cops was rolling out and they was hitting the corner real hard, about 20 police cars, and there was a black dude selling hot dogs, and he just looked up. He was like, they're going to kick somebody ass. Classic, most hilarious
scene. Yeah, because the shit is
ever.
So off to the left.
Right.
Yeah,
And that was his one line.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. So I did in 2019, I did a show at Wish Gallery, you know, a smaller spot. But the whole thing was really targeted towards, you know, Gen Z, the millennials, and it was called The Million Likes, and it was based on America's, well, really the world's fascination of just like fame and celebrity and losing their soul.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of those pieces in there that was speaking directly to, like giving you like those witty shit, like at first you don't get it, but then you're like, oh shit, like that's what he's talking about, you know. So that's fun, man. And like you have like your crew that you bounce things off and riff with. Artists work the same way. I mean, I have guys that I could be up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I call, yo, Chris, what you think of, you know? So
I'm that guy. Yeah. I call everybody way too much.
Yeah, but that's good. I mean, and you gotta have those. You know what I mean? Like when I was in art school, Like, I remember at the time when my teacher was telling me about the value of having studio mates. Yeah. And at the time, I wasn't really tripping off of that shit. But when you get out and when you're working and it's just you with that one light on at 2 o'clock in the morning, you kind of wish you had people to bounce things off of.
Yeah.
You
know? And people who know how to respectfully do it. Today,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, some people like to take over your ideas.
They're like, well, shit, you ain't do it. Bitch, I ain't finished with it yet. Let me finish.
Right, right. Let me finish cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always tell cooking when they about to steal your shit, though.
Yeah.
This is what comedians always say when they about to steal it.
What?
I got a joke like that. Bitch, no, you don't. No, you don't, bitch. You don't have no joke like that, bitch. How you got a joke about my surgery, bitch?
Right. I was finna have a surgery.
You's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
You's a lying motherfucker, man.
Funny, man.
Man, drop that social one more time.
Oh,
so we can
my,
stay
yeah,
the
social. DL Warfield. So just, you can find me everywhere. Just you putting that name up.
Yeah.
You know? Or you could use the hashtag DL Warfield did this and all kind of shit come up. Cause I can't even remember some of the shit that I did.
Well, look, bro. I know this is your introduction to the trap,
yep,
but definitely don't let this be your last time. You
hey,
see
man.
The type of, we putting our own
no, you know what, I, hey, like this, that t-shirt right there, the cream long sleeve shit, I mean, I like, that shit is cold.
Yeah,
not saying that the other stuff ain't, but man, as soon as I seen that, I was like, ah, oh, that's a great piece.
That's exactly why we're
that's
doing
a great
this,
because
that's not even our lane. We comedians, remember? We
right.
We trying to figure this shit out.
Hey, but you know what, I think, it's beauty in not having all the fucking answers, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've done a lot of things, but I know I don't have all the answers. And so I think, to me, that has aided my longevity.
Right.
Because I'm always trying to figure shit out and I'm always curious versus me sitting, well, I fucking know everything and then you don't learn shit else. So I'm trying to figure that shit out, too.
Man. Well, there you have it, folks. Not
yep,
your, that
absolutely.
Won't be your last time, but
yep.
We're going to be looking forward
yeah.
to getting a project in here in the future.
Yep.
85 South Show, Black Excellence, my man, DL Warfield.
Yeah.